As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
I had a weird week and I ate four Kirkland cauliflower pizzas. They actually come in packs of two, so it was more like eight. Please don't tell your friends at the garbage place about how I live my life and how many Kirkland cauliflower pizzas I ate this week.
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Tuesday, January 9th, 2024. The ATL thunderstorms tried to stop us, but the boys are here in the factory. I'm J.E. Skeets, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Podcast listeners, this one's for you.
Next to him, it's the bearded one, Matasha Hot Boy, Trey Kirby.
Ayo!
Ayo! And over yonder, the man making the magic happen, super producer JD.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Smash that like button and subscribe. Congratulations to Trey Kirby on the Michigan Wolverines College Championship. What a win. Dominant victory.
They said I couldn't do it, but I did it. Donovan Edwards, man, to the house twice.
Oh.
Can anybody tackle him? I guess not.
Guys ripping off 40-yard runs.
But honestly, watching Michigan win the championship, very exciting. And all I couldn't stop thinking was, the Bulls got to get one, man.
Oh, boy.
The Bulls got to get one.
Oh, wasn't the last Michigan championship 97? Pretty close to the Bulls
last one? The 97-98 season, indeed. Exactly the same as the Bulls. But now the Braves got one in 2021. They hadn't won since 1995. Michigan obviously got one last night. Hadn't won since the 97-98 season. Those teams are number two and three for me after the Bulls. And when you're seeing your team actually win a championship, you remember what it's like. And now I need one for the Bulls so I can update my flag outside.
Okay. Well, congrats to you. Yeah, congrats to Ben Golliver. Congrats to my buddy, your buddy, our buddy Grish. Congrats to Glenn Rice. Congrats to Tom Brady. Ben Lyons, good one.
Derek Jeter.
Thank you.
He was there last night. Michael Jordan was there last night.
Oh, geez.
Cheering for the Wolverines. No surprise. They do have a Jordan symbol on their jersey.
Did you watch a down?
Yesterday, no chance.
No.
Actually, I didn't see, after reading about it, that Michigan won. I saw that Washington lost. That's what Mr. Penix said. He said, we lost this game.
Yeah, he did not.
We didn't win this. You guys didn't win this game anyways, but there's lots of Wolverines to name. That's what's fun about it.
Absolutely.
Jawan Howard.
Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman?
What?
Oh, he's a Wolverine. Nice. Wow, I got that one by you.
Honestly, I feel like a fool right now. Absolute buffoon.
Maybe you took actor classes.
No? Possibly.
Yeah, that's what I thought when you said it.
Phelps.
All right, we are talking Phelps. NBA here. Wow, Phelps, good one. But before we get to, unfortunately, the John Morant news, we'll play what you got. We'll hit the beach later. We had a wedgie, so that's great. We had wedgie number 24.
Yeah.
It was Big Alpi, Alperen Şengün for the Rockets. Nice little sort of running floater there. Stuck it. Come on, Jaquez Jr. Let it breathe a little bit more than that. But anyway, number 24. Look at this new updated Wedgie Tracker website. Go to wedgietracker.com. That's looking nice.
It's so nice.
So, that's great. 24. We're on pace for 56. We're almost halfway to that, you know, magical number of 50, which is always what we're looking for.
Wedgies are becoming hotter, I would say. Jim Peterson, Wolves analyst, former NBA player, great analyst, also said to Ricardo, who makes that website, he said, is there a pigeon tracker?
Oh,
he wanted
yeah.
to know if there's tracking of pigeons that, yeah. you know, hover over the backboard, because he said that the Wolves had one versus the Lakers, and he just wanted to know how many pigeons there were, because he's been following No Dunks and the Stars for a long time. Mm-hmm. Great guy.
We don't track them. We don't need to.
Nah. That's the next step. Everything is done on the internet.
So you want a Ledgy tracker? You want a pigeon tracker? You want it all?
Yeah. Why not? Yeah. I mean, people are doing everything. Listen, that Kirkland video there was great. Mm-hmm. I'm glad I'm not addicted to TikTok, because I would just be watching Kirkland videos. I'm sure that's on Kirkland.
Yeah.
I mean, on TikTok.
It's on Kirkland. Yes.
It's on Kirkland.
Go to Kirkland.com. KirklandTracker.com. You can watch all the TikToks they're uploading. Okay, let's get into the bad news. The Grizzlies announced last night that Ja Morant will miss the remainder of the season with a torn labrum in his right shoulder. Obviously a tough blow here for the Grizzlies, who were finally starting to establish a little bit of momentum after a brutal start to the season, which was missing Ja Morant for 25 games because of the suspension. They were 6-3 in the 9 games Ja Morant played. He averaged 25-8. You know, he came back and was like a superstar just like that. But he is done for the season. So, you know, what does this mean? Besides, I guess, the obvious that the Grizzlies are already were climbing an uphill battle to go to get in the play-in, get in the playoffs, and that's probably a wrap on the season?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's a wrap. They have the worst offense in the NBA, period. And Ja Morant was obviously going to bring that back when he was out there. And as you said, 6-3 with him. They're 7-20 without him. So when looking at the standings, I'm still shocked that now with the play-in tournament that you've got 10 teams deep that are 500 or better, are going to be 500 or better when it comes down to it. And then you still have an 11th and a 12th. The Jazz and Warriors are still playing well yeah. enough to be knocking in. So the Grizzlies are a 13th place team. The weird part about it, I think, is that we didn't see it happen in a game, because it either, you know, happened just during workouts, or it accumulated over time. Like a labrum tear quite often does that. It's the classical baseball injury that just happens over time over a shoulder. So that's a wrap, unfortunately. Look, they're gonna play hard with Marcus with Banks and Jaren Jackson Jr. and Desmond Bane. Of course they're gonna play extremely hard. Banks smart.
Yeah, so
what am I thinking?
Marcus
Smart.
Marcus Banks.
I had a Marcus
throwback.
Banks. We just went through all those Michigan teams, so I went from Marcus Smart to Marcus Banks. They're gonna play hard, but as I said, an incredibly bad offense. So the easier shots that he produced for those guys was quite evident in that small run that he made. So we can just talk about if they're going to tank. I think that's the biggest question to be moving on after this terrible news for them.
Well, I mean, yeah, they're going to tank. They'll be one of the 6 worst teams in the league just because they're number 6 right now. But they have 5 more wins already than a Hornets team who has 8 wins. So they probably can't get any lower in the odds than 6th, but this still can be, if you're looking for a silver lining, if they consider this a gap year in Memphis, you know, with Ja missing the first 25 games, playing 9, and then missing the last half of the season, it is a chance for them to add some young talent that they might not be able to had the season they were anticipating. If they're able to pick, I don't know, if they win the lottery, they could pick first. Who knows, right? Like, but they could easily hop into the top 4. That's what happened when the Spurs got Tim Duncan. It's also what happened when the Warriors got James Wiseman. You can it can go either way.
Sure.
But at least they're going to have a chance at that. It's just too bad because the Grizzlies had started to put it together a little bit. They were definitely playing better and would have at least made a run, I think, at trying to get into the play-in tournament.
Yeah.
Who knows if they would have got there, but seems far-fetched now. So I assume that Jackson, Smart, Bane will play for a while here, and then they'll probably get shut down at the end of the season.
Yeah, or like Ziller put in his newsletter, they pick up an injury that's like keeps you on the shelf for a week, but suddenly that week turns into 2 weeks, you know, maybe 3 weeks. What's the rush back? You guys are right. I mean, the question is, the whole time here, even when Ja came back, was like, would making the play-in without Steven Adams, who is out for the season, without Brandon Clark, who maybe could have returned in April, but I think that's unlikely now, would that be worth it than getting a lottery pick, like losing that and just getting into the play-in? Some people could say maybe, yeah. They would feel like they could beat anyone because with Ja Morant, they're that good. But now they can just lean into this tank, pseudo tank, whatever we're calling it. And yeah, they'll have probably, whether they finish, you know, fifth or sixth in the odds, it's going to give you like a 9 or 10% chance at the number one pick. And maybe they can bounce up a little bit. So they get to add a young talent. I don't know the draft all that well. Everybody says it's a crappy one. So maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but they're going to get a young player, obviously on a controlled cost, to at least add to this roster. But it does suck. What a weird season.
A weird season, yeah, because it started with an off-court incident, why he was suspended the entire time. But for them to be sixth currently, as far as a draft pick would go right this second, is very different for them because they could finish top two in the West quite often. As you've seen in the last couple of years, they're a very, very good team when John Morant plays. But it obviously started extremely weird, and then the team just got together when he got back. And they won on Sunday without him over the Phoenix Suns, looking pretty good with him on the sideline. But obviously the injury had already happened on the on the Saturday. So, you know, there are some rumors coming out. And unfortunately, yeah, it's just a bad turn for this.
Yeah, and as sickos, I mean, and even casuals, like, basketball is just better when John Morant is playing because the guy's a walking highlight. And, you know, he does stuff you don't see all that often because he's that athletic. We had talked about, like, hey, is there any chance he would maybe go in the dunk contest? He was always saying he wasn't, so it was probably unlikely. Now that's a wrap. That's not happening. But, yeah,
ever.
We'll see. Yeah, ever. Yeah, exactly. I guess I can put that to bed. Yeah. He is not going to be in the dunk contest. But just a bummer. And, yeah, sort of out of nowhere, this news that he was going to be done for the season. And, again, you add that to Adams and Clark and now John Morant. I guess the silver lining is, well, they're all happening within the same season. And by all accounts, he's going to come back fully healthy in 24-25. That shouldn't be an issue is what they say right now.
Yeah, but you bring up good analogies of, hey, we got Tim Duncan and we just kind of shed, you know, David Robinson aside there for a season. Or the Warriors were hurt and they went and had the number two pick. So I think that changes what they do at the trade deadline. Maybe we just get rid of some people and just try and get worse immediately and try to get rid of, you know, some of their young guys they don't believe in or some of their older guys and try and get as bad as possible, unfortunately.
Marcus Smart seems like could be available going forward, I would have to think. That he seems like a guy that they would want to have for a playoff push. I don't know if they've necessarily gotten the better side of that trade, though Tyus Jones hasn't really done much for the Wizards either, but I would imagine Smart is somebody who could be gettable here since the Grizzlies won't be buyers at the very least at the trade deadline.
And he's on the older side. Next year when he played with Morant, if and when Morant comes back, he'd be 30. So, yeah, I would see the older guys, the guys that they would deal just a few weeks away.
All right, well, let's start recapping some of last night's action, and we will do it by playing a little What You Got.
What you got?
What you got?
What you got?
Yeah, a little What You Got. Again, looking at last night's stuff. We'll start with this. The Pacers eked past the Celtics in a review-filled finish to that one. There was a foul on Jaylen Brown that was overturned in the final seconds. Then Benedict Mathurin was fouled, and they looked at that one, but that one stayed. And he went to the line, and they pulled off the wild win there, 133-131, despite Halliburton leaving that game, which I know we'll get into. But then down in North Carolina, Coby White scored 27 points in his return to his home state as the Bulls overcame a 39-point performance from Scary Terry to beat the Hornets in overtime 119-112. So, I'm just asking it like this. What was the best game last night? Because there wasn't a ton on. Was it the Pacers rallying past the Celtics, or was it Bulls-Hornets in overtime? Let's start with the homer. Potential pick from Trey Kirby. What you got, TK?
I ain't picking the Bulls.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, it's got to be the Pacers because that was a tedious watch. Bulls versus Hornets. I saw Stephen A. Smith. You know, he takes questions now from Twitter on his podcast. He got one saying, I'm an NBA sicko. My wife says she's going to leave me. But should I watch Bulls versus Hornets tonight? And he said, I would divorce you right away if you watch Bulls versus Hornets. You didn't even suggest the good games.
Right, right.
But I've watched Bulls versus Hornets last night, still happily married to this day, but I got to agree with Stephen A. Smith that if you watched that last night, it's bad. So yeah, let's go with the Pacers.
Yeah.
Even though there was a lot of reviews at the end, even though Tyrese Halliburton went out with an injury, I think this is still a great win for Indiana. I think that with no Jason Tatum, the Celtics were kind of just happy to play an offense game in this one. It did come down to the reviews. I thought Jaylen Brown absolutely got hit in the head on the block from behind. The Porzingis foul was a foul as well. He admitted afterwards, like, that's a bad foul. Yeah. I was a little over-aggressive.
Yep.
So Mathurin got to shoot his free throws and then missed the other one there. Then they almost got the tip
on the
other side. That was the reverse tip-in at the rim. That was pretty impressive. So, yeah, I'm going Pacers over Celtics. The Pacers, they can beat some good teams. They just play such a high-variance game that if you decide to play the Pacers game alongside them, they can easily beat you at it.
Right, right.
Yeah, that was a great point about that reverse tip, because that was the only time I was thinking about football last night. I was not thinking about it for the college game, but that looked like an I formation that the Celtics established there, there to just throw it in from the sideline and have Luke Kornet. It was designed for Luke Kornet to just tip the thing, and he tipped it so well and went back rim. He would have had such a celebration. It was so
yeah, that guy celebrates after free throws. You're right.
Yeah, we would have fun. But yeah, the end of that, despite all the replays, was good. I loved watching Benedict Mathurin in this one.
Yeah, he was big.
He is balling. It's an interesting guy because it looked like he was going to be the starter for this team. They decided at the beginning of the season, all right, Halliburton and Mathurin, but he wasn't great. He literally couldn't shoot the ball well, and he's just not as great a playmaker as the guy beside him in Halliburton. So they had some problems. So after 12 games, he went to the bench, and since then, he has been awesome. And he was smooth last night, extremely smooth. He had one play where he was bringing up the ball in transition. Halliburton was wide open, but he didn't know. Pass, what am I doing? So he looked like he carried it. Everybody was mad, but he just stepped into a three. Bang. He looked so fast, so smooth, getting to the hoop, and he had a bank shot. That doesn't happen very often from like 10, 12 feet. He just looks established. A Canadian is established there with the Pacers, for
there,
sure.
There was some great shot-making like in the final 5 minutes of this game. Like, he had a massive step-back three in the corner. Then Drew Holiday came right back. He had one step-back in the corner. Like, they were trading shots, but it was really going through Mathurin. And then I was really impressed with Mathurin when he had hit a couple threes. Again, this is like in clutch time here. And he got matched up on Porzingis out on the three-point line. Okay, that's a matchup he's probably looking for and he's seeking. And you're thinking, okay, he's feeling it right now. He's going to shoot it. The Celtics sort of ran sort of a late double at him because there was like 5 or 6 seconds left on the shot clock. Nesmith streaked down the middle, and Mathurin made a beautiful pass. Nice pass. He sort of faked like he was going to just kick it up top. Found him inside. And one great finish there from Nesmith. So, like, little plays like that, like, you see, like, that's the growth from him. But yeah, I'm with you. Pacers rallying past the Celtics was the more entertaining game. Though Vucci, baby, had a good game for the Bulls, and they were hot in overtime there to start. And then somehow the Hornets had a chance with Nick Smith Jr., I guess, rimming out a three at the top there to tie it. But yeah, I wonder how many people were watching. Bulls Buzz City there last night, especially with the college championship game on.
I was locked in. I was locked in. They beat the Hornets and they beat Math last night. Hornets hit 17 threes. The Bulls hit 9, but 62 points in the paint for Chicago and only 42 for the Hornets. Drummond, 21 and 15. Vooch, like you said, 21, 10 rebounds and 4 assists off the bench. Zach LaVine and Vooch, both back for 2 games. They've won both of them, both against the Hornets. But I was impressed with what Vooch was doing last night. There's not a lot of interior resistance from Charlotte. And LaVine so far is just not trying to do too much as he's working his way back into the lineup, which I think is probably what people want to see. We'll see what happens when he moves back into the starting lineup. But yeah, the Bulls didn't make a field goal the last 3 minutes and 30 seconds of the fourth quarter.
And still pull it out in overtime.
Still pull it out. Terry Rozier, though, 39.7 threes. Somebody trade for that guy.
Yeah, no doubt. Yep. That's what we were saying last week. And just to go back to the Pacers game, you know, Pacers fans, I assume, holding their breath here today as we wait to find out the severity of Halliburton's injury. He's getting the MRI. It was a hamstring strain. You saw it, Tass, there, where he straight up did the splits and then was carried off, and the towels are over the head and all that. Never a good look. So you hope it's nothing serious, though, man, it sure looked like it when you're being carried off like that.
Yeah, James Johnson carrying him, and then he had the towel over his head because it looked like he was shedding some tears there as he was injured. So hopefully it's not serious. There's obviously rumors that it's not serious, so hopefully that happens. He was wearing the high tops, so people saying, oh, he's sliding because he's wearing high tops, but that really has nothing to do with him just sliding out. But it was weird seeing, the high tops on a guard like that. He doesn't usually wear those. He usually goes low cut. But yeah, he stepped off the floor and those Pacers were awesome. To kick the Celtics' butt like that, to give up 133 points to the Indiana Pacers with Halliburton only playing 13 minutes, that's tough to do. This Pacers team is just good. So they're going to survive Halliburton's going to miss sometime. Yeah. But hopefully it's just not an extremely long period of time. And they are going to survive. Nemhard might have to play well. Another Canadian shutout. But it, you know, it could just be TJ McConnell playing in. But
he was hoping.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's fantastic. The increase minutes. They just gave it to Miles Turner as well. He was big. Just backing down and playing large in that game.
Do you think, do you agree with TK that Jaylen Brown maybe should have stepped to the free throw line there at the end where they overturned the call and said Buddy got just ball coming from behind there? Or do you think there was maybe enough contact to warrant a trip to the line?
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. I entirely agree with you. That ending was just, it was kind of long. That's for sure. Kristaps, who wasn't even mad after his call, he just sat down.
Yeah.
He just thought,
he was laughing.
Yeah. But I thought the other game would be better because I thought Zach LaVine loves shooting in Charlotte. And seeing him off the bench, he hit a three. He hit, what, that 13-3 game was in Charlotte. I thought so. I saw him hit a three, but mm-hmm. he played so many minutes and didn't shoot Zach LaVine-type numbers.
DeRozan was shooting every time.
Yeah. it's just weird to see a guy play, Zach LaVine play 36 minutes and not shoot all that much. Yeah. But, yeah, the great question with the Hornets and trading Rozier is playing awesome. Gordon Hayward, who didn't play in this game, but this is his last few months here with the Charlotte Hornets. He's got to be. And P.J. Washington not in there as well. So this is going to be an interesting 5 weeks for the Hornets.
All right, moving on here. Let's go to Jordan Clarkson and Lauri Markkanen. 21 points apiece as the Jazz staved off a second half rally for the 132-116 victory over Milwaukee. The Bucks, fourth loss in five games. How clean was that jersey last night? Utah has now won five of its last six, and they're 11-4 in their last 15 games. Utah Jazz coming on strong here. Jazz and then time. We had Paul George scoring 25 points. Zoo Alcindor added 19. Clippers beat the Suns 138-111. Beatdown. Second time in 5 days that the Clips took care of the Suns. Dominating fourth quarter from them. So bigger surprise. Was it the Jazz beating the Bucks 132-116, or the Clippers routing the Suns 138-111? What you got, Tass Mellis?
I was a little bit more surprised with how the Jazz just romped the Bucks early. This team doesn't hit a lot of threes. They average 13 threes a game. First quarter, they hit 11. That's the most they've hit in a quarter all season long. So that was surprising after Giannis called out his team to say, hey, let's play for some frickin' defense. Because, you know, looking at the Grizzlies, zoom out, I think they're going to be good enough. I still do. But when they won the championship, of course, it was Giannis, Brook Lopez, Chris Middleton. That's your 3-4-5. Now they lost Jrue Holiday for Damian Lillard. That's going to stay there. Dame's not going anywhere. But I think they're going to drop Beasley in that fifth spot from the starting lineup. It's happened before. It's happened with this Jazz team. They start him, and then they say, oh, this is not doing enough on the defensive end. It's happened with the Lakers as well last season. So I think they're going to go to somebody like Jay Crowder, who is rumored to be coming back very, very soon mm-hmm. and could help out. So they romped, and then Keontae George looked so good for the Pacers. He looks so good as a backup
for
guard.
Jazz.
But for the Jazz, yeah, to just keep romping. And then Colin Sexton, he's just been damn good. It was a weird transition there, and it was 6 minutes left. They pulled Jordan Clarkson, and Chris Dunn has helped out. He had 13 assists in 24 minutes, so he helped out. But I thought the Bucks were going to fight back. They're fighting back. We had a Bobby Portis, Kelly Olynyk little ruffle in the third quarter. You saw the Bobby eyes go up big, and he said, you know, he yelled at Kelly for a second. He said, that was a flop! That was a flop! And then they kept giving him the ball against Kelly Olynyk, and the crowd was going nuts. Bobby! So the Bucks seemed to be coming back.
Yeah, they were.
It was fun.
They made a rally. But
yeah, the Hardy team getting Chris Dunn back into that team or back into that lineup, I should say, for Jordan Clarkson when it was an 8-point game, that changed it, and the Jazz pulled away.
All right.
So that was surprising.
So you'll go with that one as the bigger surprise. What about you, Trey?
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. I mean, the Clippers beat the Suns, but the Clippers are better than the Suns.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not too big of a surprise. But meanwhile, the Bucks, they tweeted out a picture of their very, very clean jerseys before the game. I was like, oh, it's Jover. They completely bounced back. But then 11 threes in the first quarter for Utah. I went and checked the NBA.com/stats tracking data. Five of those were considered open. 11 were considered wide open.
Okay.
And that's what the defense felt like.
Yeah.
It felt like if the Bucks were actually close to the three-point shooters, it was hand down, man down. Their hands are down at their waist. Easy jumpers over the top. That was just disappointing to see from Milwaukee after they'd been called out by their superstar. Obviously, no Dame last night, and they did try a different starting lineup with Andre Jackson Jr. So maybe you're right that going forward, he will stay in the starting lineup. Lillard will return for Beasley. I think that that would be a smart move because, I don't know, it just doesn't look like a lot of defenders out there, specifically on the perimeter, because Middleton is struggling defensively as well. On the flip side, though, the Clippers completely beat up on the Phoenix Suns. It's just easy to score inside specifically against Phoenix. And then on the flip side, their offense is very, very predictable. It's just like whoever has the ball, maybe there will be one or two passes, and then it's an ISO. So it's pretty easy to figure out what you want to do to attack them. Meanwhile, the Clippers move the ball. They seem to be completely locked in with each other. And despite the fact that they pulled a trade in the middle of the season, well, I guess like a couple of weeks into the season, they seem to have a lot more cohesion than a team like the Suns, who's trying to do basically the same thing.
Yeah, and the Suns, just for those keeping note, they had the big three playing last night.
Oh, yeah.
You know, KD's there, Booker's there, Beal's there, and they played okay, some better than others, but it was one of these games where really nobody else contributed to this squad at all. I mean, you look and you see Eric Gordon with 12 points off the bench. Okay, otherwise, nobody's cracking, like, more than 10 points. And it's like, it's a little bit like, who's to blame here? Is it the players? All these guys that were, you know, minimum guys and hoping that one or two would hit, and it's just that they're not good and they're crap? Or is it the way the Suns play, to speak to what you were saying there, Trey, this idea of, like, are the big three not doing that great a job of, like, getting these guys involved and building up a little bit more? Because it's a little just like, okay, KD's turn. Okay, Booker's turn. So, you know, which one is it? Is a little bit of both, probably, that they have not been put in good roles either by their coaching staff and their star players. I'm talking about these role players. Or maybe they're just not that good, which is the honest truth for some of them.
Yeah, I would say the defensive end was a little shocking to me. The Clippers were, obviously, they are allowing everybody to get hot. But they had a 141 offensive rating in this game. That would be the best in the league. That's kind of hard to do if you're playing hard defensively. So I just think the three there of Durant, Booker, and Beal just haven't been able to peel out some good defensive efforts, like what Chris Paul was able to do last year. And maybe they haven't played enough together, but those three guys shot extremely well. Durant shot 59%, Booker 57%, and Beal was fine too. But yeah, you're right. The supporting guys are struggling offensively, I suppose. But the defense was a little bit shocking to me in this one for a Ty Lue team. Ty Lue is getting everybody to sacrifice on that team.
The Clippers dominated the fourth, like I said. They opened it up on like a 17-5 run, and I think they scored 15 straight during that little stretch, and sort of that put the game to bed, and they got another victory. They are playing really, really well. I mean, Harden, another good line. Paul George obviously led the way with 25. They're definitely a better team than the Phoenix Suns, no doubt about that. All right, final one here. Had to get creative, but I wanted to show some love to the bigs. Because in Washington, rookie big man Chet Holmgren scored 31 as OKC led most of the way in a 136-128 victory over the Zards. Chet made 11 of 14 shots, 4 of 5 from deep. But in Miami, Bam had 22 and 12. Most of that coming in the second half because he was in a lot of foul trouble in the first half. And the Heat, they almost led the entire game in a victory over the Rockets by 7. Bam, 9 of 12 from the floor. So the question here is, and you can say both if you really want to, more likely to be a 2024 All-Star, is it Chet in OKC because of their record and all that, or is it Bam in Miami, or maybe both, that you think will be there being selected by the coaches? What do you think? What you got?
A lot of guys make the All-Star team after replacements, so I think it could be both, but I think Bam will make it on the first swatch through.
Okay.
So I think he is definitely the choice, just because it's easier to make it. In the Eastern Conference, the front court will be locked in Giannis, Embiid, Tatum. After that, you're talking about guys like Paolo Banchero, Julius Randle, and then probably ones of Barnes, Scotty Barnes or Pascal Siakam, depending on if he's traded to the Western Conference. But I mean, to me, Bam is right there with that second tier of guys. We got the starters who are all MVP candidates. Then we've got Bam. Like, he's probably number four on the list. He's been the most reliable Heat so far this year. He's had a great offensive season, and then he's really good defensively as well. Then you look at the Western Conference. It's just tough to make it in the West Jokic, LeBron, Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, Kawhi or Paul George, Kat or Gobert, Şengün, Sabonis, Zion or Ingram. Yeah, yeah. It's just going to be tough for Chet Holmgren to make it. Also, because rookies often have to wait.
Yep.
The last rookie to make the All-Star game?
Blake Griffin.
That's right.
Is that right?
Yeah, 2011.
Wow. He started, though, that one, didn't he?
I think you're right.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
And it was technically his second year, even though he was a rookie as well. So maybe Chet could have the same case, but he ain't getting voted in. So I think Bam is the guy, but Chet is going to have a case. And I think that if the Thunder are still top three in the conference, he could be the 14th guy selected.
Right, like an injury replacement for sure is his best chance. But you agree Bam, almost like a no-brainer, will be selected and deserves to be selected?
Yeah. Yes, Bam definitely will be there, especially because Jimmy Butler would be the other guy on his team. But Jimmy Butler's missing a lot of games now.
Yeah.
He's only played in 24 of 36 games. So when the ballot comes down to every coach who hands it over to his assistant coach and they have to pick the reserve, it's probably going to be Bam on that team. Now, it all depends where the Miami Heat finish in the standings, but right now there's a battle. There's a five-team tie for fourth place in the Eastern Conference standings. So breaking that down, I just think it's a little tough for two Miami Heat players to make it, so Jimmy probably will make it. Also, it's just a little tough for a rookie, as you said, for Chet Holmgren to make it when he's just damn good. Last night, he was just stepping into open shots. 11 of 14, 31 points. I saw our friend Royce Young tweet, looked around, that Holmgren looked around and said, why aren't they guarding me? Because they weren't. But that being said, he is a center. And when you're playing a pick and roll, there's a lot of drops that happen in the NBA. So you just drop off that guy. And so he is just that good. He is that good. But I think, as far as breaking it down, it's just easier in the Eastern Conference. The West has so many good forwards that it would take a spot from Holmgren. LeBron, Durant, Jokic are probably going to start. But then you got a Kawhi. He's got to be there. Anthony Davis could be there. Paul George. The turkey push for Alperen Şengün. So there's just too many, I think. Yeah.
No, you break it down. That's a good way to put it. I think I'm with you guys. Bam will be selected by the coaches, and rightfully so. I mean, he's averaging a career-high 22 points per game, and he's been like sort of, their steadiest guy there on a good team. I mean, like you said it, they're tied with a lot of teams here at sort of in the second tier of the Eastern Conference. And Chet, as a rook, awesome numbers, but he's going to need an injury or two or three, I think, even to ultimately make it here in his first year. But well, he's got a whole bunch ahead of him. I mean, Bam's also a two-time All-Star. His whole thing is trying to make an All-NBA. Mm-hmm. He's trying to crack that, select few. So, and maybe he will do it this season. But I'm with you. Bam is my pick. Let's hear from everybody out there. Again, just a little creative way to recap last night's games. We're going to take our first break. And when we come back, we have a very fun beach stepping question. So don't go anywhere.
I got to get something off my chest. Nothing drives me crazier than sending a message to a group chat and getting no response. That's why I'm a big emoji responder. Love a hang loose hand or a salute, but man, it hurts when you send a message and get nothing back. Ouch! We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/NoDunks today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/NoDunks. This episode of No Dunks is brought to you by BetterHelp.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, back here in the Classic Factory. Nice to see a top hat emoji. Mm-hmm. It's one I don't see a lot, but good stuff there from Nick, and Pierre's dropping it now. Everybody drop your top hat emojis in the stream team. Let's hit the beach, though.
You got the buzz! got the rockets, you got the nuts, I got the chocolates, we got that chit-chat down pat, blah, 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 you got that certain special, je ne sais quoi. Let's go to the beach, baby!
Yeah, let's go to the beach, and we only have one question on today's pod, and it's a good one, and it's from at Benji's World, by way of Twitter, tweeting in, create a 15-player roster of incredible players who never won an NBA championship. Let's do a recent team. Say since 1999. And TK, you saw this cue and you said, ooh, I'd like to dig my teeth into this one. Let me chew on this one.
Let me take a big chomp of this question. Yeah. Yeah, good idea. Adding a parameter, player's career has to have started before 2020.
Okay.
So we're looking 1999-2000 season, mm-hmm. had to be in the league up until the 2019 draft, basically. So the first 20 years of the 2000s, guys like John Stockton, Karl Malone, Reggie Miller, they were playing in 99-2000, but the end of their career, so they didn't really get much consideration, though a couple of tweener guys did make the cut.
Okay, okay.
Also went with five guards, five wings, and five bigs.
I love it.
To
I
spread
love it. A little balanced roster. Let's
that's
go.
Right. That's right. 15 best players from the 2000s who didn't win a championship or haven't yet won a championship.
Right.
Four guards, I think, were pretty easy. James Harden, a one-time MVP, 10-time All-Star, 7-time All-NBA, and this always makes me laugh when I look at his basketball reference page. Sixth man of the year.
Yeah,
easy to forget
without the beard.
Yeah, gigantic bow tie, if I'm not mistaken,
yeah.
At his press conference.
Yeah.
So he makes the team. Also led the league in scoring 3 times, led the league in assists 2 times. Pretty good.
Yeah. Okay.
Steve Nash also makes the list. 2-time MVP, 8-time All-Star, 7-time All-NBA. From 99 on, 15 points per game, 3 rebounds per game, 9 assists per game, 50-40-90 basically from the field. 5-time assist champ in the 2000s. Russell Westbrook, also on the team.
Okay.
1-time MVP, 9-time All-Star, 9-time All-NBA, 2-time All-Star MVP. The guy averaged a triple-double 4 straight seasons.
Yeah, that is wild.
That's amazing.
After he did it once, everyone's like, okay,
yeah.
It's fine. It's so weird.
It's going to age very well
yeah.
when you go back to look
yeah.
at it. What?
Yeah.
5 times overall, he averaged a triple-double and still the Washington Wizards career leader in triple-doubles. I think he's like 6th. All-time in Lakers triple-doubles or something like that.
Okay.
Weird stuff. 2-time
okay.
scoring champ, 3-time assist champ. He's on the team.
Okay.
Allen Iverson.
Okay.
1-time MVP. He first made the All-Star team in the 99-2000 season. Made it 11 times in his career. 6 times All-NBA. 2-time All-Star MVP. Averaged 27.5 points per game on 42% shooting in the 2000s. 3-time scoring champ, 3-time steals champ. That's your top 4 guards. You'll notice they all have one thing in common. MVPs.
True. Good call.
So the 5th slot, more up for debate, but I'm going with Chris Paul.
Yeah.
12-time All-Star, 11-time All-NBA, 9-time All-Defense. He was the Rookie of the Year. He was an All-Star MVP. Led the league in steals 6 times, led the league in assists 5 times, 17 a game, 9.4 assists per game. He makes it ahead of Lillard, Rose, Gilbert Arenas, and then Luka and SGA are in the mix, but they're so young in
yeah.
their career that I can't put them on this list yet.
I like that.
They
yeah.
got enough chances still.
Yeah, okay. So Harden, Nash, Westbrook, Iverson, and CP3 as the guards.
Those are your guards.
That's a great list. Okay.
All right, the wings. We're starting with Carmelo Anthony.
Melo.
That was nice.
Yeah.
A 10-time All-Star, 6-time All-NBA, 22 per game, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, led the league in scoring 1 time. Melo, an easy add for me.
Yeah.
He's going to be amongst the best players. I don't know. He doesn't have an MVP. Does that put him below a guy historically like Steve Nash? I don't know who has the higher rep.
Wow.
Mm.
I mean, obviously crazy different players, but
yeah.
that's a good point.
I mean, all offense, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One guy loves to pass, one guy loves to not pass.
Yeah, sort of.
Let's hear what you think in
yeah,
this dream team.
MVP wins.
2 times.
But those two guys, yeah, that's tough.
All right, another wing to add to the list. Tracy McGrady makes the team, a 7-time All-Star in the 2000, 7-time All-NBA. He won Most Improved Player, led the league in scoring 2 times in the 2000s. 21 points per game, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 44 from the field, 34 from 3, and that's factoring in the end of his career when he wasn't putting up huge numbers, which
right.
you'll see for our next guy as well.
Okay.
His cousin, Vince Carter.
Oh,
welcome to the team. An 8-time
wow.
All-Star, 2-time All-NBA player in the 2000s. He obviously won one of the greatest dunk contests of all time. This sounds bad. Vince Carter's combined stats in the 2000s, he only averaged 16 points per game. But he also played like 1,000 seasons. Right? Like, he was playing at the end. You're like, he wasn't scoring a ton when he was a Grizzly. He wasn't scoring a ton when he was a Hawk. So that brings down the averages. But Vince Carter does have the most games played of any player in the 2000s.
Yeah. Wow.
You want to name the top five?
Most games played.
From the year 99-2000 on.
LeBron?
Well, LeBron is actually probably number one since we didn't factor in 2020 on. So is third on this list.
Okay.
Okay. So in the 2000s, I see what you're saying.
Yep.
Guy who played a lot.
Yes. Yes, he played a lot. Played it a lot of seasons. Didn't move very well at the end.
Dirk?
Yes, yeah, Dirk, number two. So Vince, Dirk, LeBron. And then two guys whose first name starts with J.
Jamal Crawford?
Number five.
Wow.
And then a Dirk Nowitzki teammate.
Jason Kidd? No, that's too late.
Jason Kidd teammate as well.
Jason Terry.
Jason Terry.
Jason Terry. Nice. All right.
Yeah, Vince, Dirk, LeBron, Terry, and Crawford from 99 to 2020.
Okay.
For the top five
fun
in games
stat.
Played. All right, so we got Melo, we got Tracy McGrady, we got Vince Carter as our wings so far. I'm adding Jimmy Butler.
Woo. Wow, he's been close.
Current player, exactly right. Been to the finals twice, a six-time All-Star, five-time All-NBA, five-time All-Defense. He won Most Improved Player as well, 18 points per game, five rebounds, and four assists, including his first couple of years with the Bulls when he wasn't scoring a whole bunch of points. Also led the league in steals one time, and is, of course, the defending Eastern Conference Finals MVP.
Oh, my goodness. The Larry Bird? Is that Bird's trophy?
That's a Bird Boy. Yeah, yeah, that's a Bird Boy.
West. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's the Bill Russell once you get into the
finals.
Yeah. Yes, okay. Yes. Where he has been, but this guy has not yet, which is why he's number five on the list. And you know I had to put him number five. Paul George.
Oh,
one behind Jimmy Butler, an eight-time All-Star, six-time All-NBA, four-time All-Defense. He also won Most Improved Player. Paul George? He won Most Improved Player.
That was a weird time.
That in my notes, and then I said it out loud. Like, that's weird.
It is weird.
He's been around a long time.
Yeah.
20 points per game, 6 rebounds per game, 4 assists, a one-time steal champ as well for Paul George. So the wings I've got as Melo, McGrady, Vince, Jimmy Butler, Paul George. What about this guy, Joe Johnson, DeMar DeRozan, and Jason Tatum, who, you know, still
Tatum
has a lot of chances.
Yeah,
there's some young guys that I'm like, you are, like, Jason Tatum, historically, he's probably going to finish ahead of Joe Johnson. But Joe Johnson had a lot more chances at a title because he played longer at this point.
Yeah, the runway is still so long for Tatum and Luka, like you said, and Booker and guys like that. I mean, they still got a lot of NBA left in them. So Paul George, I like it. And those other guys you said as honorable mentions, I think you've got the right five above some of those other names, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
On to the bigs.
Okay.
Blake Griffin. You're on the team.
Wow.
Six-time All-Star, five-time All-NBA, Rookie of the Year, won a dunk contest, 19 a game scoring-wise, averaged 8 rebounds a game and 4 assists as well. Blake got close a couple of times with the Clippers. I suppose he was sort of close when he was a Net as well. Had a chance to pick one up as a Celtic last year, and who knows? Maybe he hops on a team at the end of the season this year and tries to ring chase or something like that. But Blake Griffin, you're one of the bigs on our all-no-titles team from the 2000s.
He's not on a roster right now.
No, he's not.
Yeah, not yet.
I'm sure somebody will sign him.
Somebody will sign
him. But it's nice. It's a 15-man roster to have a Blake, to have a Vince Carter, even if they don't play a ton. Yep.
What I want to do at the end is create the starting lineup of these 15 names.
I love
it. Who we think would be the best. Okay, keep going.
All right. Here's a guy I like to remember. Yao Ming.
Wow. Wow Ming.
Wow Ming. Eight-time All-Star, five-time All-NBA, 19 a game, 9 rebounds, 1.6 assists per game. He's just too big for the world, man. Just too big. You know, his body couldn't last all that long. But Yao was awesome. Yao was a special player to watch, ahead of his time even, I would say.
And you never, or you always, excuse me, hear Shaq talk up Yao. And like, damn, that guy was a problem. Like, when Shaq is saying you were an issue for him, or like that was a tough matchup, like... That's all the respect I need to hear. And he was amazing. And he only played... What? He only played like... What'd you say? 8 seasons? Is that what he played?
He probably did only... I'm sure he was an all-star every
That's
season he
wild.
Played. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a short career.
Yeah, yeah. And he missed a season with a foot injury. Then he came back for 5 games in his final season.
So he
really
basically played
seven
seasons. Wow.
Yeah.
He's a Hall of Famer.
He is.
I mean, I know international reasons in there, but... Okay. Yeah.
Modern guy, Joel Embiid
yeah.
is on the team. He's got an MVP, six-time All-Star, five-time All-NBA, three-time All-Defense, averages 27 a game and 11 rebounds, 3.6 assists per game. If it wasn't for Nikola Jokic, you'd be like, man, Embiid averages 3.6 assists per game for his career? What a playmaker. But the game has changed. He's also a two-time scoring champ, on his way, perhaps, to number three. So Embiid, very high-ranking big who doesn't yet have a championship.
You caught me by surprise when you said his career averages are basically 28, 11, and 4, if we round up a little bit. That's his career?
Yeah. He's been helping the numbers freaking, a lot the past couple of seasons, averaging
that's
30 a game will do it.
Picking up, for sure. All right, Embiid. I mean, Embiid must have been at least one. Like, he's really, he's sort of like some of these other players, but I guess he's played longer than.
He's played longer, and he's got an MVP.
Yeah, okay.
So I think he's a little further along in his career than Tatum, Luka, SGA.
Okay.
Chris Webber is making the team here. You do miss his rookie of the year era with the Warriors, but this coincides with when he got to Sacramento, six-time All-Star in the 2000s, four-time All-NBA, 21 points per game, 10 rebounds per game, four assists per game, 46 from the field. Chris Webber was an awesome player, just never able to get a championship. Yep. He's a modern-day comparison. Maybe you would call him the Karl Anthony Towns of his time. Think about it.
I wonder how he would feel about the comparison. I'd be interested to find out.
Both went number one.
Yeah.
Great athletes for their position.
Yep.
Offensively focused. Questionable playoff performances.
Yeah. I don't mind it.
Let me know, Bill Simmons. Let me know what you think.
Where is he in the pyramid, Bill? How high or how low?
Chris Webber. Chris Webber. I wonder if he was celebrating last night. I know it's been... It's been rocky. Certainly has been rocky, but I think he's in the good graces these days. And, of course, Juwan Howard is the coach.
Do you think he has, like a WhatsApp chat with the
Fab Five? Yeah, know? I do. I do think he does.
Jimmy and Juwan.
Yeah, and Rob Pelinka's even in there.
Okay. Yeah, right. I forgot about that. And Chris Webber in the Hall of Fame.
Chris Webber in the Hall of Famer. Yep.
2021.
My final big to add is Amari Stoudemire.
Ooh, I like it.
A guy I love to research because he just ages better and better every time I go to look at his page. A six-time All-Star, five-time All-NBA. He won the Rookie of the Year, 19 a game, 8 rebounds, and only 1 assist. Not much of a passer, Amari.
No,
a great play finisher, though, alongside Steve Nash in Phoenix. So my bigs are Blake Griffin, Yao Ming, Joel Embiid, Chris Webber, Amari Stoudemire. They come ahead of what about this guys like LaMarcus Aldridge, Al Horford, who I saw has played the most playoff games in the NBA without winning a championship currently.
Yeah.
Gobert, Cat, and then Dikembe Mutombo and Jermaine O'Neal. Consideration as well.
Okay. Yep. Maybe a little Zach Randolph love?
Just a thought? He made my long list.
Okay, good.
My long list.
Okay, so there it is. 15-player roster of guys who have never won a championship, basically over the last ballpark 20 years.
2000s, yeah.
Yeah. Harden, Nash, Westbrook, Iverson, CP3, Mello McGrady, Vince Carter, Jimmy Butler, Paul George, and then the bigs, Blake Griffin, Yao Ming, Joel Embiid, Chris Webber, and Amari Stoudemire. It's a damn good team. I like that team's chances to win a title.
This team could win a title easily. Easily.
So let's build the best starting lineup. So who are your two guards, two forwards, and then your one big man starting? Who would you have?
Okay, I'm starting Steve Nash at point guard. I feel like he will be he will be happy to pass the ball to the other four. And Jen, if you need me to shoot a three, I'll do it.
Yeah, I like
I'll
that.
I'll do it, okay? I'm also starting James Harden.
Okay.
Starting Harden. You know I'm a sucker, Skeets. I can't resist. At the wing position, do I want to go two bigs? My bigs are very big. There's not like a lot of power forward, so I'm going to go two wings here. And I'm going to go Tracy McGrady.
Okay.
I'm going to go Jimmy Butler.
I was going to say, you might want to get some defense. I need squad. A little defense. You got Nash and Harden. You might need...
Nash and Harden. McGrady and Butler. Okay, that's good. And then I'm going with Yao as my center.
Okay. Yeah. Just sell some tickets.
Yeah, exactly right. Another passer.
Who would you have
another
there?
Another passer, rim defender.
Tass, as your starters.
Yeah, it's a very good starting five. I don't know if you can resist. I don't know if you can... You can put on anybody else, really. I'm looking at all the guys who just didn't make the cut to see if there's anybody who can sneak in there. But 2000's changed some things. So, you know, it's okay to leave off Charles Barkley and Hakeem, they got in there. They played. Or a Penny Hardaway or a Grant Hill. Yeah. Yeah. Damian Lillard even. I think we would have a little spinning contest.
He was like number six in the guards for me, Lillard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because the five guards you named, I don't know how you can't take anyone. How do you take any of them off? Like Iverson. We could have Iverson starting on this squad for sure. Yeah. Good stuff. Benji's World coming through with a fire tweet. A great question. That's what we're looking for when we're hitting the beach. So keep them coming. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com if you want to email them in. Tweet them in at NoDunksInc. Leave them in the YouTube comments. Good stuff there, TK. We got to take one more break. And when we come back, Tess has tweet of the night. Don't go anywhere.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, back here in the Classic Factory, fun comment from Jay here. Some other what about this guys? Some of them were mentioned, but Darren Williams, Gilbert Arenas, Elton Brand, Latrell Sprewell, Stephen Marbury, Andre Miller, Steve Francis, Anton Jameson, Sharif Abdul-Rahim, all great.
Brandon Roy.
Oh, great. What about this guys great when it comes guys. To not great winning a championship guys. But being good over the last 20 years or so? Great stuff. Okay, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the night. Wow.
Twitter.
This tweet of the night comes from FIBA. Never seen this video before that FIBA produced here. It's the Italian basketball team underneath the hoop trying to get out a locked ball.
Wow.
A ball is stuck behind the hoop. And they've got these great 70s show type graphics in between because it lasted forever. So you've got, you know, our friend Simone Fontecchio, Gigi D'Antoni throwing balls at this thing.
Wow.
A few moments later, a few minutes later, then there's somebody hanging on the bar trying to get it.
As
he was propelled up, sitting on somebody's shoulders. And he's trying to get it. It was stuck forever. It was just stuck in there. Now somebody's reaching so high, it looked like a 7-footer. On someone's shoulders that got it. I assume it's from this summer. It's not absolutely current. I assume it's from the World Cup when they were practicing. Pau Gasol tweeted to this tweet and said, it's happened to all of us. Balls get stuck on the back of the backcourt. And there's so many bars behind that backboard.
It was really wedged in there.
Yeah. I mean, you couldn't really throw wedged. A ball.
No. And that, and the stick from the mop, that wasn't going to do it either. I don't think, unless you hit it absolutely perfect to unwedge it behind there. Do we have to come up with a name for that one? I mean, that's...
Yeah,
we got to track this one, too?
It's not really a pigeon because it's 3 or 4 inches below the top of the backboard, but it is pretty close to the top of the backboard, but it's not a pigeon.
Why not? Like it's a trapped pigeon.
A bat in the belfry.
It's like Mike Tyson, let it free, buddy.
Bat in the belfry. Yeah.
Because we call somebody, happened not too long ago. Remember once or twice it's happened where the ball has gone on top of the shot clock?
Yeah.
And it's sat up there and we've called it a super pigeon before. Like it's way up there.
Well,
But maybe this is a trap pigeon. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah. Listen, I think I was just hoping for somebody to make an actual website that tracked pigeons in general. As our man Jim Peterson of the Timberwolves broadcast asked, is there a pigeon tracker out there? So I think we could just lump these all together. The more pigeons, the better. The more likely we're going to get a website.
I like caged pigeon. I don't mind it. I mean, that one was really, it was between bars.
Yeah.
Back there.
That was rare.
You got to set it free.
That was rare.
How many Italians does it take to set free a caged pigeon? There's a riddle for you.
Yeah, being...
Two, I guess.
Yeah, two.
Two.
I guess.
In the end, it was somebody sitting on someone's shoulders and literally being propelled up. Now, maybe it was at the World Cup, as I said, this best year, and maybe the backcourt backboard. I keep saying back court because it's easy to say. But a backboard potentially in the Philippines, Japan, or Indonesia is made a little bit differently because that's where the World Cup was. Because that bar is what trapped that poor pigeon. And hopefully that pigeon is still alive today.
I'm trying to see if there's a notable Italian bird.
Monica Bellucci.
She's a bird.
Man, it's so bad. It's good. Oh god.
Okay, Hugh Jackman.
Yeah. Well, that was great. All right, let's call it there. Great tweet, fun video there from @FIBA, and I did. You called it sort of a '70s, I guess, interstitials. A lot of people, the younger generation, SpongeBob.
Oh yeah,
that's what that is.
True.
Yeah.
Cool.
You know, cool. Very cool. Well, I saw somebody very fired up.
They're
about
all
that.
Mad about
that's
it.
That's SpongeBob cast on the '70s.
You idiot!
Yeah.
Jesus.
It was obviously stolen from that '70s show. When you hear new music, they took it from somebody. It's not new. Okay.
Wait, you're saying that SpongeBob stole that from the '70s show?
Maybe,
I don't think that's accurate.
We'll have to fact check that one.
They borrowed it. I don't know. You're the cartoon specialist, Jade. You're
definitely
the editor.
SpongeBob. It's 100%.
Yeah,
SpongeBob.
But where did they get it from?
They made it up.
Well, what music contract. Service? Okay, APM?
Probably, actually. Yeah. Okay. No, it's got the Hawaiian slide thing.
Yeah.
8 hours later. Every time I see that on any movie now, I hear that voice. Yeah. The SpongeBob, the French guy, SpongeBob voice.
Right.
Yeah. 3 weeks later.
24 hours later. We'll be here. Okay? Back in the classic factory. Join us then. Hit the like button if you haven't done so. I see a lot of you doing that, so we appreciate that. Podcast listeners, leave us a 5-star rating and review. We'll be back tomorrow to break down all the NBA games, all the latest news, and we'll look forward to seeing you then. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, it's fun looking at these graphics SpongeBob made. one eternity later, I hope we're still doing this show for everybody out there.
Brace the day, people.